the glorious return of the biggest man on the Vikings, Michael Pierce, off of IR, other updates, and it's Crossover Thursday here on the Locked On Vikings podcast.
Ooh-wee!
You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Locked On Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Stat Hero. Stat Hero is the first of its kind daily fantasy sports platform where it's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup, winner take all. Sign up for free right now at stathero.com/lockedon and use promo code LOCKEDON for a 100% deposit match. I'm your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at Luke Braun NFL, and the show is on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. Today on the show, most of the show, we'll be talking about the Lions with Matt Derry of Locked On Lions. It is another Lions week, and so we kind of have to go into the fear of being the one in 1-10-1, or if their season ends up 1-15-1, we don't want to be the one, right? I think we're all pretty scared of that, and I tried to convince Matt that we actually take the Lions seriously, and he would not have it. Pretty fun conversation, but first, some news and notes and random stuff to go over. The Vikings had a walkthrough practice on Wednesday, so they only had an estimated practice report. On that report, though, they estimated 5 DNPs. Anthony Barr with his knee slash hamstring now, the injury he suffered against the 49ers, or re-aggravated, I guess. Cam Bynum still DNP with that ankle injury. Ryan Connolly now dealing with a quad injury. And then Dalvin Cook with his shoulder, and Christian Darrisaw would have been DNP with his ankle. We're going to find out a little bit more today on Thursday. As you are listening to this, you might know a little bit more when they have like a real actual practice. But I think more like concretely than all of this, Michael Pierce was moved from IR to IR designated to return. And that means he now has a 21-day window. This is how the system works. 21-day window to reactivate him. And that basically means he's going to be ready to go pretty soon here. And it sounds like the Vikings hope that he will be able to play in this game. Sounds like Michael Pierce is back. I do not think he did a lot, but again, it was just a walkthrough, and it seems like it's also a pretty short period of those open to media, and they can't really glean too much. But it would, of course, be very nice to get Michael Pierce back, especially because we lost Patrick Peterson to COVID IR. And so I guess let me just talk a little bit about the fear of a bad team, right? And the Lions are a bad team. Nobody's going to disagree with that. Not even Lions fans, right? But they're bad for a reason, right? And a lot of that I talked to Matt a lot about like Dan Campbell and all that stuff. But a lot of, you know, they don't have a good quarterback. They've got a pretty talent bare roster and all that stuff. And so you kind of go, well, then how did the Vikings end up in, you know, a 2-point game, like a nail biter with them? Well, so did the Ravens, right? So did a bunch of teams that we see as pretty good teams ended up kind of in nail biters against the Lions. And that there is this idea, and I think it comes a lot from college football or other sports where, I mean, if you look at like the NBA, most of the years in the NBA, I think we're actually I don't follow the NBA too close, so it doesn't seem like there's true blue bloods, but it felt like for a long time in the NBA, there was like the Lakers, the Warriors, a couple other teams that were like really, really good. And then like, and you know, whichever one LeBron was on, and that was kind of it. And if you were a fan of like the Grizzlies or the Timberwolves or the Hawks or whoever, you were always going to kind of be an also ran. And the NFL doesn't really work that way. There isn't much for like inarguably good teams this year. I'd say there's three of them in the NFC: Cardinals, Packers, Bucks. I think those are teams you could like trust. Everybody else is kind of a mess. And I think at the bottom too, the worst teams in the league, you know, the Texans have a couple of wins. The Jets beat the Bengals, who are a playoff team. And then you have the Lions, who have taken people down. The difference between the best NFL team and the worst NFL team is probably smaller than the difference between like an 11-win college team and like an 8-win college team. And, you know, it's kind of funny, like on a Saturday, we'll watch Michigan put up 63 against like Northern Illinois and just beat the crap out of Northern Illinois. And then we'll come on Sunday and we'll watch another game that's like Vikings Lions. But the Lions aren't Northern Illinois. They're an NFL team made of NFL players that, you know, have been drafted and were top of their class and all that stuff. And there's no cupcakes in the NFL. So if you're afraid of the Lions, I think that's appropriate. And as a quick review of the Lions, what we kind of learned from them last time, they're a bit of a shot play team. They're a run play shot play team. Where they kind of want to run, and then like have a play action deep bomb to one of their speedy guys on the outside. And of course, with a slow secondary and a slow secondary missing its number one corner, that can be a really difficult thing. And so you have to be really conservative with your safeties. But if you're going to be conservative with your safeties, you're probably taking them out of the box and then the run can go. And that's going to be kind of the struggle the Vikings have against a team like the Lions, which, yeah, they don't have a ton of talent and guys are going to have to win their matchups. But it's also interesting how you approach their approach. Again, we'll kind of talk about all of that, but I guess I just wanted to ramble a little bit about there are no cupcakes in the NFL. The Vikings are a touchdown favorite in this game, at least as of this recording. They've been favored by more. They were favored by more last time, but this is in Detroit. Anything can happen. Don't take the Lions for granted. Don't start looking ahead to Steelers week and Thursday Night Football. And I hope the Vikings don't either, but I don't think that they will, considering that they almost lost to these guys last time. So without further ado, let's get into, well, a little bit more further ado. Let's get into the conversation with Matt of Locked On Lions. But first, I want to talk to you about daily fantasy. I don't like daily fantasy. I don't like the idea of entering a pool, trying to get the best lineup out of, 10,000 entries. The only, the way the Sharps play daily fantasy is they have to, go for the craziest corner cases, and they basically have to pick when some totally random third-string running back gets three touchdowns, Vulture's three touchdowns, and, that's how they win, and they'll put in a whole bunch of entries that. I just don't feel that that's, gamesmanship that I want to be a part of. If I'm going to play daily fantasy, I want to be, guessing who gets the best games, kind of straight up, more earnest, and that is what Stat Hero allows you to do. Stat Hero is the first of its kind daily fantasy sports platform where it's you versus the house in head-to-head fantasy matchups. Winner take all. And here's the crazy part, Stat Hero shows you their lineup before you play, and you handpick the team you want to face one-on-one. For example, can you pick, in a salary cap format, three running backs that will do better than Joe Mixon, Elijah Mitchell, and Alexander Mattison? If you can beat that, you can win one-on-one versus the house like it's blackjack. So if you want to get in on this kind of stuff, head on over to stathero.com/lockedon and sign up for free right now. You can use promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, for a 100% deposit match. That's stathero.com/lockedon. Promo code locked on for a 100% match. One more time, stathero.com/lockedon. Promo code locked on. Terms and conditions apply. All right, everybody, it's crossover Thursday, which means for the second time this year, we get to talk to Matt Derry here on the Locked On Vikings, Locked On Lions crossover Thursday. I'm Luke Braun, Locked On Vikings, Matt Derry with Locked On Lions. Has much changed, I guess, since the last time we met? I feel like the Vikings are still a mystery and the Lions are still bad.
No, I don't think anything has changed, Luke. It's always great to talk to you, buddy. The Lions are looking for their first win, and so that hasn't changed. We've seen some improvements. They've been in every game these last 3 weeks. I think the Vikings do remain a mystery, but I don't think this is the week that we're going to see Detroit get that first win. They haven't matched up very well in a while with this team.
I mean, last time we played, it was in Minnesota, and it came down to a final field goal. The Vikings collapsed at the end of the game and almost gave it up. So considering how close the Lions got last time, that's an interesting lack of confidence. To me, this feels like one of the best opportunities the Lions have to get off the schneid, as it were.
I agree, and I think that the Lions are due, and certainly, like you said, here's the other thing. They've played three very close games here, and they've had to muck it up. They've had to design the play calling that's so conservative, and they're holding the football. It's almost like and I said this the last week, when we played the Bears, that it's almost like this Princeton college basketball offense from the 90s with Pete Carrill, hold the ball to run the shot clock down to five. And so the games are in the 20s and 30s at halftime. The Lions are holding the football. They're running the football a lot. On third and longs, they're running and punting. And they're playing the field position game to the point where at the end of the game 3 weeks ago against Pittsburgh, the end of the game 2 weeks ago against Cleveland, and last week on Thanksgiving, I know you saw it, against the Bears, they were there. But they didn't win. And I think this week is going to be one of those weeks where I don't think it's going to be close. And I think the better team is just going to, I'm not going to say whoop the Lions, but I think there's a reason Minnesota is a 7.5-8 point favorite this week.
Yeah, it's interesting. that you say all that, because the Vikings just lost to the 49ers, who are a very similar, like, that describes the 49ers too. And I think the 49ers have a lot of similarities to the Lions, but correct me if I'm wrong here, in that the Lions seem to love to use pullers and shifters and motioners to try to, like, get some space and get the running game going. And that running game has kind of been their, like, their thing, the thing they can kind of hang their hat on, and that the 49ers love to play that sort of ball control style of offense. And so do the Vikings, which makes all of their games really high variance, because if everybody only gets six possessions, it kind of comes down to the random little moments on this third down or that one. So it feels like it could be a higher variance game, but let's engage in a little bit of Lions optimism. Let's throw caution to the wind.
Okay, let's do it.
If the Lions win this game, what does it look like?
Well, like I said, it's going to have to be junked up again. It's going to have to be a 20-19, 20-17 type game. The game in Minnesota, which you referenced earlier, you kind of forget about because it was so long ago. But yeah, the Lions were physical and played pretty well at the end there to come back. Then got that 2-point conversion. But, you know, Aaron Glenn rushing three, dropping eight, and boom, Kirk Cousins has him down the field. And certainly Joseph hits the big field goal. But most of that game, when Minnesota was settling for threes and not getting into the end zone, or they would have put it away a lot earlier. I don't see that happening again this week. Like I said, I think the Lions, they've made valiant efforts over the last few weeks, and they've been in every game. But what it would look like, it would look like a big day on the ground. But then again, DeAndre Swift is out. He's not going to play this week. So you're talking about Jamal Williams, Jamar Jefferson, who I like as a rookie, and Godwin Igwebuike. The passing game is horrific and horrendous. And the defense has been better, but still gives up a lot of yards. But if the Lions are going to win, it's going to be on the ground. And there's going to have to be some things with special teams, you know, fake punt, fake field goal, onside kick, something to junk it up to get them over the top.
That was the next thing I was going to bring up, is that Dan Campbell aggressiveness, because there was a lot made about Dan Campbell going into our last game about, like, Campbell being this guy that goes for a bunch of fourth down, and he punted away 2 fourth-and-ones. And even Mike Zimmer after the game was like, I really thought he was going to go for more of those. So was that an illusion, or was the game against the Vikings just an anomaly in Dan? Like, should we expect Dan Campbell to go for every fourth and short, be super aggressive? I mean, what do you got to lose, right?
I mean, at 0-10-1, you have nothing to lose. The problem is, over the last few weeks, he's not been aggressive. It was the Rams game, if you remember, when Stafford faced his former team, where it was 2 fake punts and an onside kick. And
wanted that one.
And they did want that one. And ever since then, Campbell has taken over the offensive play calling from Anthony Lynn, who's been demoted. And it's turned into, like, 3rd-and-10 draw plays and 4th-and-1 punts. And the game against the Browns, down 13-7. 4th-and-1, they take the 3, kick the field goal with Albert Rosas, and never get the ball back again. That's been another issue. The Lions have not, the defense has been better, but when they've needed stops, couldn't get them against the Browns 2 weeks ago. Chubb runs the clock out. And last week, the Bears go 8.5 minutes, 17 play drive to end the game. And all the Lions need to do is get one third down stop, and they couldn't do it. The clock management has been brutal. The back-to-back timeouts, which cost them a 5-yard penalty the other day on Thanksgiving, was a bad look for the coaching staff. And they've got to clean that stuff up. They have to.
So I guess the last question, we probably won't talk until the offseason again, and I kind of want to get your thoughts as where we stand right now with this Lions team. 0-10-1, obviously, this season's kaput. Where are we headed here? Is this going to be another reset? Is Dan Campbell going to be a one and done coach? Are we going to try to get rid of Jared Goff, or is that contract kind of taking on that contract for a pick was kind of the point there? So I don't know about that. What do you see is the light at the end of the tunnel for the Lions? At what point can we start seeing them as a team with a future, instead of a team in this weird, like, limbo of waiting to be in a rebuilding year?
They will tell you that they like what they have, that they're making strides, and that the coach is somebody that the culture has been a good fit for him, and vice versa. I'm looking at it as, what happens, Luke, if they lose these last six and finish 0-16-1? Can you bring back a coach that didn't win a game? Especially in this day and age of the NFL, where you've got upsets galore, you've got 5-win Atlanta, who really isn't that much better than the Lions on paper, in a playoff chase. The Bears are still in the hunt. They've got 4 wins, but 2 of them are against Detroit, and their coach is being fired. And here the Lions sit with no wins. You have got to win some games. I think Campbell's going to stay. I think Goff's coming back, even though he's been brutal, because they just don't have any other options. They're not trading for Deshaun Watson. Aaron Rodgers isn't coming to Detroit, nor they're not, neither is Russell Wilson. They're going to have to keep building through the draft. Campbell's got a six-year deal. You've got ownership that is very patient. So I think he's coming back. I wouldn't personally bring him back if they don't win a game, because I think it's too much to overcome. But sure. I think we're going to see kind of more of the same next year with a few more wins, but another draft under Brad Holmes' belt. Hopefully a guy like Kayvon Thibodeau or Aiden Hutchinson coming off the edge so they can get a pass rush going, because quite honestly, expect Kirk Cousins to have a lot of time to throw on Sunday.
Interesting. And we'll get over to talking about the Vikings, because they've got some changes on the offensive line since last time you saw them. So we'll talk about that in a sec. But real quick, I do have to say, I kind of want Dan Campbell to stay around. I'm rooting for him, because it seems like he really... I mean, when you're just in the pits and you still have guys playing that hard for you, I have just a lot of respect for that. So I kind of want Dan Campbell, not as like I'm a Vikings fan and I want the division rival to suffer. I do, but also want Dan Campbell. Like, I don't know. Dan Campbell, he's grown endeared to him. Yeah.
No, he's entertaining. The guys like him. But this isn't about like or culture or any Matt Patricia-esque issues in the locker room. The locker room's all in. Problem is the decision making. You've got a coach
for sure.
You got to make those decisions down the stretch of games. You can't burn back-to-back timeouts and get penalized for it on a 3rd and 9. All of a sudden it's a 3rd and 4 for the Bears. That's bad. That's bad coaching.
I hear you. So let's flip around and talk about another brand of bad coaching when we talk about the Vikings in just a second. Like I mentioned, at BetOnline right now, the Vikings are 7-point favorites going into this game. They're touchdown favorite. Now, if you're like me, you've been taking the points in every Vikings game, you might be able to make a little bit of money on that or live bet against them in like the second quarter when they have that lead you know they're going to blow. Put a little emotional hedge down and do that at betonline.ag, where you can bet on pro, college football, basketball, hockey, MMA, whatever, and they just redesigned their website. So they have this really cool player prop builder where you can build all your crazy parlays and a live betting apparatus where you can kind of feel the flow of a game. And if you think, wow, the Vikings are definitely going to give up a touchdown here right before the half, you can actually bet that and see if you can't make a little bit of money on your disappointment. So head on over to betonline.ag, use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, all one word, for a 50% deposit match on your first deposit. Get a grambling at betonline.ag, where the game starts.
I'm Matt Derry, Locked On Lions. Luke Braun from a Locked On Vikings, a Thursday crossover. Lions will host the Vikings 1 o'clock and noon, obviously, on the central time for the game this coming weekend. All right, Luke, every time we think the Vikings are turning the corner, like a win over Green Bay and such, they then stub their toe the next week. How would you assess what's going on right now? And is this right now, they're a playoff team, the last wild card, but are they legitimately a playoff team or not?
So I think I sent out a tweet last night after watching the tape of their loss to the 49ers. They are a good team that absolutely does not deserve to be in the playoffs. they're good at the sport. Like, they have a lot of good players that are playing well, that are doing the things you're asking them to do, but they're deeply stupid. And they do a lot of stupid stuff and they shoot themselves in the foot, be that like penalties or other things, or things like pocketing 3 timeouts and letting the 49ers run out an 8-minute end half drive. 8-minute drive, the whole 2-minute warning. They got the ball back with 18 seconds and all 3 timeouts, and they ate all 3 going into the locker room. So, yeah, they do stupid stuff like that, and they kind of play the game on hard mode. And they're good enough to win a game or two on that. I mean, they're 5-6, right? To win sometimes on hard mode, but they always make things so hard on themselves that it has to become that it requires perfect consistency, and they just don't have that.
You know, it's interesting because Kirk Cousins has had a really good year, and it seems like when I've watched him, he's throwing the ball over the field and he's spreading it around. But they just, like you said, are finding ways to lose. Hey, Mike Zimmer, yeah. You know, he's in the news. The guy's dating a supermodel, so that's exciting.
He has been for a while.
But that's, nationally, that's starting to hit here. That's starting to play. Right. We could just do the last 8 minutes on that. But yeah. Tell me about the offense a little bit. And certainly no Dalvin Cook, it sounds like, right, for this week?
Correct. Yeah, Dalvin Cook will be out for a couple weeks here. He separated his shoulder in the 49ers game. So it'll be Alexander Mattison and a rookie, Kenny Wongwu, who is mighty speedy. He's been doing the kick returns, but he's going to get some work from scrimmage as well. The offensive line is a little different than last time you saw it. In the Lions game, that was Christian Darrisaw, the first-round rookie, his debut, and he took like half the snaps. It was a rotation at left tackle. He's got an ankle injury and would not have practiced on Wednesday. It was a walkthrough, but it was like an estimation, and he would have been estimated as a DNP. So it might be Rashad Hill, who is substantially worse. It is absolutely an opportunity to make some noise. Also, Garrett Bradbury, not the center right now. He has been ostensibly benched for Mason Cole, who started in Arizona for a while. We traded a sixth round pick for him, and he actually took the job after Garrett Bradbury went on the COVID list, didn't get the job back. And there might even be some weirdness around Oli Udoh, the right guard, who's been struggling a lot. Bradbury might take that job, or they might shift Cole over or something like that. They've been talking a little bit about that, but in the 49ers game, it was Cole at center, Udoh at right guard, Bradbury on the bench. So I would have to think that that's the default state unless somebody gets hurt or something else changes. So the line has been shuffling a little bit to, I'm going to go with mixed results, but there's been quite a bit of pressure on Kirk Cousins. But since we played you guys, that was one of the most hyper-conservative games the Vikings have played on offense. They've really made a point to be more aggressive, and Kirk is firing into windows. He's throwing deep. They're trying to get manufacture targets to Jefferson, find Justin Jefferson targets, you know, deep downfield and stuff. But Kirk Cousins is testing a lot. And so if you're looking, again, for opportunities, there are going to be some tight throwing windows. If you can make a play on the ball, you might be able to get a turnover or two.
Luke Braun, Locked On Vikings. I'm Matt Derry, Locked On Lions, a Thursday crossover. What about the defense? You look at all the names on paper and you say, man, they should be ferocious. And I know it's been anything but this year.
Yeah, well, none of them are there right now. The big names you would think of, Danielle Hunter out for the season. Everson Griffin, he's had another mental health episode, not unlike the one he had a few years ago. He's going to be out, we're going to go with indefinitely. Dalvin Tomlinson, he's on COVID IR. Michael Pierce is on IR, but designated to return. They think he's going to be back for this game, so that'll be big against your run game. And then you've got like Kendrickson, Barr, Harrison Smith, and all the kind of usual suspects. But again, it's been like an inconsistent unit. There's a lot of players that can play all but four of the plays really, really, really well, but those four plays end up being the difference in the game because every game comes down to, you know, the final field goal.
Patrick Peterson, what's his status?
He's currently on the COVID IR list. He's fully vaccinated, but sounds like it's a case that's going to keep him out. So it's going to be Bashaud Breeland and Cameron Dantzler. And the thing about the Vikings secondary is that it's slow. They've got players that can play, but it's a slow. They don't really have like a speedy. So this is the same fear that I had last time, was like Khalif Raymond would come in and burn him. And if Jared Goff can hit that ball, it can get really ugly really quick. And in the last game, he couldn't hit that ball. He got a couple of opportunities, but it wasn't there. So the Vikings might have to kind of back things off a little bit, but they're not going to want to do that against the team that is kind of oops all run game. I don't know. Maybe they will with no DeAndre Swift, but like that's where I get a little bit. It's like, what do you commit to? Stopping the run game, which the Lions want their identity to be, or stopping the shot plays to Khalif Raymond, which feels like the easiest way to lose this game.
Yeah, they just have not been able to get Raymond going the last few weeks. So that's been a kind of a concern. All right. So, you know, I just don't think this is a great matchup for the Lions. It really hasn't been. Kirk Cousins has put up big numbers at Ford Field the last few years. How do you look at Sunday?
Yeah, I don't think you can look at a game and be like, I choose the Lions will win. But I'll tell you, BetOnline has the Lions +7. I took that. This game's really going to be closer than everybody thinks. Yeah, the Vikings haven't been able to win a game by more than one score since week 3. Every game's come down to last field goal, including the last time against the Lions. And it kind of goes back to like, we had the Lions at home and we barely squeaked by with a 50 plus yard field goal at the end of the game to win it. Going on the road, playing the same team, a little less healthy than last time. Feels like, I mean, I don't know. I haven't watched as many Lions games, so I'm not as sour on them as you are. But I'm going into this thinking, absolutely, this is no gimme.
Mm. And to be honest, too, right? I mean, a lot of games have come down to Greg Joseph, like too many.
A ton of them.
I think probably for the liking of Mike Zimmer and his staff. Not that he's been bad, but obviously the Arizona game was good. The Packer and the Lion games were bad, and those two games were good, but Yeah, I get it. It just does seem like every game comes down to a Joseph kick.
Yeah. Well, they could have ended the Carolina game, too, with a field goal attempt in regulation. That one sailed wide. And then they end up winning the toss and scoring a touchdown anyways. But they're, you know, put that one on the pile.
Yeah. All right, brother. Well, I think I'm not as – it's kind of interesting. I think the Vikings will win for sure. You're telling me maybe the Lions were on opposite sides for opposite reasons. But
if I had to do like a dual outcome, I would say Vikings win but Lions cover, which is what happened last time.
And the Lions have covered a lot of games this year. Yeah. But unfortunately, you know, sitting at 0-10-1, they've not played well at home either. That's the thing. It's like, oh, Lions have a few home games left. They'll get one of these home games. They've actually played better on the road, to be quite honest, but we'll see what happens on Sunday. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Always a pleasure, Matt. So we've already played the Lions once, and tomorrow I want to talk, in addition to like your bold predictions and stuff, a little bit about what we can improve upon in that Lions game and what's going to be different this time than was last time, and see if maybe the Vikings can do a little better than beating the Lions by two this time. So we're going to talk about all that. In the meantime, check out the Locked On Bets podcast with your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. I will see you all tomorrow, and as always, Skol.